This is JLPT Bootcamp, the ultimate guide to passing the JLPT in less time with less pain. This is the JLPT Bootcamp podcast. I'm your host, Mac, and this is the 92nd episode of the podcast. The rainy season here in Japan is finally finished, and now we are treated to some sweltering, humid heat, which is always enjoyable. A good time to stay inside, I guess, and or go to the beach, hang out there, go to the lake, Lake Biwa, up north of us, which is are both very good vacation spots. Just to give you the regular update, I am starting to get a little tripped up by Harry Potter. There's a lot of kind of story that doesn't involve too much dialogue, and it's more like a talking about the teachers and things, and so there's been a couple of difficult pages to get through. Lots of descriptions, a lot of thick text, but still keep going on that. Good, decent progress, about four or so pages a day. It's kind of slowed down a little bit because there's a lot less dialogue. But I think I still feel like it's a good book. It's a good read, and something you might want to think about picking up if you are at the N1 level. I'm almost about 50% through Sticky Study, the iPhone app. I'm starting to kind of... I think it's a good app, but I also feel like there's some difficult, too difficult kanji, and kind of the review system doesn't quite work the way that I'd like. I feel like there's sometimes it'll go back and give you a card to review that you've mastered, in air quotes there, and I'll hardly be able to recognize what the word is. So kind of gives me a feeling that I'm not being reminded well enough of the particular vocabulary word. I might end up moving to Anki, but for right now I'm kind of just trying to stick with Sticky Study, just simply because I do like the kind of the calendar and how it's timed out. And I think for smaller decks, if you are studying for N4, N5, possibly N3, it's probably a very good app, and it's well designed for that. Also the kanji, it's well designed for that as well. But I think the bigger decks, that's where it kind of starts to break down and isn't very well optimized for that quite yet. But still like it, still going to keep using it. The other thing that I've been doing religiously is the So Matome listening comprehension book, which is a lot more difficult than I thought it was going to be. The topics are still, of course, every day, kind of conversation type topics. There's a lot of business topics. There's a lot of general conversation topics, but there's a ton more tricks to the conversations than there were at kind of the lower levels. There's a lot of references, a lot of where you have to catch kind of soft things that they don't really accent so much. The speakers are speaking really fast, and they don't give you any hints. So it's good. I think it's going to be good practice. I'm going to have to go through it again. What I'll probably end up doing is kind of reading back through it again, reading through the scripts, and really trying to get the most out of that book. My biggest problem, I would say, is that once I open and look at the script, I can generally, after a little bit of reading, understand, you know, the answer. Why? There's a few that I didn't quite understand. Maybe the structure was a little off or something. I didn't know the structure. I didn't know the particular phrase they used. But I could read through the script and, in general, be able to answer the questions after I went through after I listened to it. And I think that is always a good indicator that I've been doing too much reading and not enough listening to scripts, kind of controlled listening, so to speak. And so I'm really going to do a lot of review for listening, I think, especially just trying to re-listen to all the scripts and maybe, I'll definitely pick up a practice test and a few other things to listen through. So hopefully I'll kind of have a good 5 or so hours worth of content, and that will hopefully be enough to pass N1. I'm not quite sure. That seems a little bit of a small amount. Maybe I might have to move that up to a little bit bigger, try to go look for some more good N1 copy, some good N1 scripts, something to listen to. So, but that is my current status for that. I'm going to probably move into new Kanzen Master listening here in very soon, in about a week, maybe 2 weeks, after I do some review and try to get that done by the end of August. So today, the topic is, are we there yet? This is kind of a question that you've definitely heard or asked in your lifetime. You know, you're taking the road trip, it's getting boring, you've played all the games already, you've exhausted all the movies in your iPad or your iPod or whatever playing device, and you've gotten bored and you want to know, are we there yet? Are we done? And that's kind of the feeling that sometimes I get when I'm studying Japanese, or at least when I first started studying Japanese, where it was kind of like I kept asking myself, well, am I at the N4 level? At that time it was Sankyu level. That's the first test that I took. It was the old style. And, you know, am I at that level yet? Am I there yet? You know, if I am, what should I do now? Should I keep reviewing or should I learn more? Should I learn new things? And I often do get this question via email where people tend to ask, you know, if I do this book and this book and this book, will that be enough for me to pass N4, or will that be enough for me to pass N3? And it is kind of a burning question, because it's like, well, you don't want to do extra work for nothing. You don't want to keep studying or whatnot when you can know you can pass a certain level or whatnot. There's kind of that natural reaction, like you don't want to work more than you have to. Nobody wants to do that, of course. But I would argue that there's kind of two different ways of learning a language, two different strategies. Both have their advantages and disadvantages, of course. The first strategy that I used to kind of work with is what I'm going to call this language hacker kind of strategy, where I used to try to study the most common grammar structures, the things that you're going to encounter the most, that I've heard the most in conversation. I'll review those, obviously learn everything, but try to focus on some key structures that I need for daily conversation. And of course, try to experiment with those grammar structures and make grammar mistakes in conversation. Make mistakes with vocabulary, make mistakes with listening, whatnot, and just kind of play around with that language until you've become fairly comfortable with it. And so you're able to use it for yourself, in other words. And that's a good strategy. I think if you want to become conversational in a particular language, that's a good strategy to follow. Just try to learn a couple of grammar structures, use them as much as you can. But if a particular grammar structure just doesn't suit your personality or how your situation at the time or whatnot, who cares? You don't need to go back and study it. And language hackers kind of take this approach where you take a practice test. you take a few practice tests, and then from the practice tests, you go back, review the things you've missed, try to, you know, bump up the particular skills that are missing, so that you can move up to the next level and pass. And so this is kind of, you know, the shortest way to the goal, so to speak. You're kind of refining, you're sanding down what you're learning and trying to shape it into what you need for the moment, I should say. And that's good. It's a good approach, very efficient, saves you a lot of time. The approach that I've kind of started moving towards recently is this approach of wanting to master the language. And that's kind of what I'm doing with N1. I'm kind of taking one step past the, okay, I'm just going to learn what I need to learn. And, you know, I'm just going to study the books I need to study. I went ahead, I actually bought all the books that I hopefully am going to use for N1. It's a total of about 8 books. You can see the picture at the website. It's a ton of books that I'm going through. And so, you know, there's double books for every subject. I got new Kanzen Master, Sōmitomé books for reading, listening, and grammar. I'm going to go through all those. I got the Tanki Master series. I got the official JLPT study book. I got all those. I'll be working through them, and I'll be reporting back to you when I work through each one of those. And I kind of took this approach of I really want to be able to master the language, know it back and forth. And so the kind of the goal that I'm going for is to be able to walk into the test and be 100% confident that I will know pretty much most of the situations that they're, that a particular grammar point's going to come up, or most of the grammar or most of the vocabulary that's going to come up on the test, be fairly confident that I've studied it, restudied it, refined it, reviewed it, and so I know it 100%. And I feel the main reason why I'm kind of going after that overlearning the material kind of goal is that I feel like it's, first of all, it sticks. It's going to stick longer. It tends to, you know, things that you overlearn tend to stick longer. And that's going to be good because some of the things that you learn at the N1 level and even at the N2 level, they're grammar points that you might not end up using in the immediate future. You know, it might be a year or 2 years before you see it in a text or you read it somewhere. But if you overlearn the material, then it's there. You can bring it back up when you need it at that later time. And so you're prepared for any kind of situation that comes at you. So that's more of a, it's more like a you pay now for bigger profits later. Whereas the language hacking is more like a you're performing triage. If you have trouble kind of remembering a particular grammar point, you can just kind of leave it by the side. And in the future, if you do need that grammar point, you can bring it back up again, study it, and study it when you encounter it again. And that's kind of the language hacker, you know, people that just want to be conversational in a language. I think that's the good approach. This other approach of kind of mastering the language is incredibly useful for, first of all, analytical learners, people that really want to know all the ins and outs, the rules, make sure everything kind of fits in its place. It's a really great strategy for that. I believe it's a really great strategy for people that want to do translation, people that really love the language, that really want to know all the details about it. Whereas the language hacking is more for people that just, you know, you like the language, but it's more you need to know it as a tool because you really like Japan, or you're going to do business in Japan, or you're going to visit Japan. or you want to read Japanese literature, or manga or whatnot. So it's basically two different approaches. One's not better than the other, but anyway, I'm trying to go for the master this round. I don't know if I'll give up halfway through and try to take a break a little bit. There's definitely a lot on my plate right now, but that's my current strategy. So anyway, I'd love to hear from you, as I always do. This is episode 92. You can come visit me at the blog, jlptbootcamp.com, and leave me a comment there for this podcast. If you have a more general comment about the podcast or about the website in general, you can click on the Contact Me button up there at the top and leave me a message that way. Or if you prefer old-fashioned email, you can, of course, just email me. It's mac@jlptbootcamp.com. I'd love to hear from you any of those ways, and I hope you have a great week studying. To claim your free 21-page ebook on the 5 biggest mistakes people make on the JLPT, as well as more tips and tricks to help you pass the Japanese language proficiency test, come visit me at jlptbootcamp.com.